Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. This is Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, sitting in the number two chair today. Max Henson, staff writer for Panthers.com. Brian Strickland on assignment.
Yep.
He's getting technical.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, he's getting technical. I hope he's pushed the right button so we're actually live today, because he's handling that side of things. And also Dan LaTaraca, he's always technical. And this man has his finger on the pulse of all things social. Okay. Keeping an eye on our social media networks.
Killing it.
And I know you're big on that, too. Yeah. And the guy I'm talking to, without further introduction, John Beeson, straight from a workout. I was down there checking you out, man.
Right. Still sweaty.
Yeah. Getting your sweat on.
I don't smell, right?
Looking great.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Let me just say, while we got you here, there's a lot of muscle on this set right now. Unfortunately, yeah. It's not evenly distributed.
No. Nope.
Amongst 90, the four.
99% of it. Right
99% of it is right here.
I did a push-up.
But Beast, everybody, I'm telling you, when we put your name online that you were going to be here, It just lit up. The social networks lit up. Twitter. I've never seen Twitter so active.
That's cool. That's
Facebook. I mean, there's a Super Bowl, but otherwise it's number two.
Oh, yeah. So. No doubt. But look, give us an update. Tell us what you've been doing. I know you were downstairs. Tell your public out there how you doing and what's going on. You can face them if
you want. I got you. Well, I'm feeling great. it's an everyday process. You obviously have the number one goal is to get back and be healthy. But for me, I've changed up a little bit in terms of, we're going to set many goals. Every rep, every exercise, and just, try to maximize that thing and be the best at it just in that moment. No longer looking down the road. That's just focus on the now. And then, it's like going to the bank. You make that deposit, and you keep making that deposit. Eventually, you'll make a big withdrawal when the time is right. But just let that thing grow. And, that's what we've been doing. There's a lot of guys down there, working hard. And, this time of year is usually where the guys who are dedicated, whether you're injured or not, they come in and they start hitting it hard. So it's good to see a lot of faces in there. And, for me, I'm just enjoying it, man. It just feels good. The one bad thing about the season ending early for us was, it's tough on the players. Obviously you want to go in the playoffs and go deep. But for me, you get put on IR, the season can't end soon enough, because once the season's over, I'm officially off the shelf. I'm back on the 53 and everything's moving forward.
And I know you're excited. I talked to you right after the season, man. How hard was it for the second year in a row to go through what you went through?
It's tough, man. You come out and – you know who you are. You know what you've been through. And I think, a part of, overcoming things, it makes you who you are. And for me, it was just like, things were just kind of cruising along. I was enjoying the NFL. I've had a lot of success consistently, and things couldn't have started off better. And I think, having to deal with this adversity for me is just, hey, it was too easy. So God had to make it tough on me. Give me something else to overcome and something else to challenge me. And that's just where what I've been. That's the mindset that I've been, accustomed to right now, because that's all I can do. But that part of it's a challenge, and that part has been fun.
Well, talk to your running partner Thomas Davis, and it was just awesome.
No question,
what he did this year. Mm-hmm. But he talked a lot about not taking anything for granted.
Exactly.
As you've gone through
being
this,
in the moment.
Is that the lesson that you've learned?
That's it, man. We're all just paying rent. Someone's going to have your job whenever, someday when you decide, hey, hang it up. The Carolina Panthers will go on
not,
and continue.
Not immediately.
Right. It'll be somebody else will sit in that chair.
Yep.
Exactly. And it's going to be on your terms. Just like I feel like it's going to be on my terms. And it's on Thomas Davis's terms. He's a guy who, obviously went through a lot, but stayed the course, would not be, be beaten, stayed persistent. And I think, those are the types of guys you have on the team. You start the season off and say, okay, well, let's take some stuff off his plate. Let's have a package for him. What does he do well? He can cover. He's fast. He's a great blitzer. That's just use him in the nickel package. And then, guys get hurt. Things get shuffled. Now, all of a sudden, he's got to play every single snap. And now you're putting all the pressure on him, everything on his plate, and he just ran with it. It was that part of it was fun to sit back and watch my boy get his feet back under him.
I was so inspired. How about you, Max?
Yeah, of course. We talked about Thomas Davis' inspiring season all season, and well deserved all the accolades he received from his teammates and everybody and the like. And John, I know last time we talked to you was blocker move out day. I know you'd come off the knee surgery, and you were a couple weeks out of shoulder surgery. Just curious how that went, how you're feeling in regards to that, and I'm sure you're looking forward to not having to see doctors anymore for a while.
Yeah, no question. You know, the knee feels great. You know, we're finally moving from the rehab part of it to the training aspect, and yeah, that's fun for me, man, because, you know, I'm a gym rat. You know, everybody knows I love to work out, but you know, for me, that's where I get my confidence from. You know, you line up against your opponent and you say, hey, you didn't sacrifice like I did this offseason. You know you're going to fold before me. And that's the thing that it drives you, because you know you put the work in. So, you know, transitioning from rehab to training has been fun for the knee. Obviously, the shoulder right now, I'll be 5 weeks out of surgery Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really picked up a lot of joint mode, but it's feeling good. It's moving good. You know,
looks good.
I mean, you know, I'm not quite in fighting shape.
Yeah, well, everybody wanted to see.
Yeah, some guys might be in fighting shape right now, but this isn't fighting shape for me.
I'm getting
there. Yeah, that's it.
I'm right there working with you.
It's the process, right?
Well, I tell you on this show, because folks are chomping at the bit. I mean, we know we got to get Rob Cunningham in here. We have some
big Rob.
Yeah, he's there.
Some loyal viewers. Yeah,
shout out,
the show.
Shout out.
But Dan, I can just turn it over to you for the next
3 hours.
How long you got?
I'm here, man.
Yeah, how long you got it?
Hey, it's all about the fans. You know that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's hear from them.
All right, let's get this one out of the way early first. We have a lot of questions about switching to the 3-4 and a lot of questions about shifting to outside linebacker. And a lot of those have to do with what are the skills involved with playing an outside line position. And how are they different from?
Who asked that?
That was like 20 or 30 different people.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha. Okay, well, I'll try not to be too complex with it. And
simple's
always
good.
Yeah, okay. So first off, you know, I was drafted as an outside linebacker. So former safety, right. Mm-hmm. Played running back, all that stuff. So I can play the position. I'm familiar with the position. You know, some people may think I'm built for the position. But what we did not know was before moving to the mic was my personality is geared toward being a mic linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm persistent. I'm motivated. I'm hungry. I'm greedy. I want every play, and you know, being in that middle, you know, allows me to have that freedom to just kind of go. Everyone else kind of has to be more so disciplined and be where they have to be, but I have a lot of freedom, and I enjoy that. And I did it well for at a high level for a long period of time. Now you switch it up and you say, hey, Beeson, we want you to go punt. I'm going to have the same mentality, the same work ethic at that position.
Right.
And, you know, throughout my career, high school, college, I've just moved around. Whatever it takes, coach, you know, it's kind of been my motto. But then you find something you get rooted in and you develop a love for it. And it's sometimes it's hard to you know, make a transition. But, you know, for me right now is I want to do whatever it takes to help the Carolina Panthers, one, and I want to win. And that's just what it boils down to. It's you know, I'm going into year seven. There's no more time to kind of, you know, say, hey, woe is me, this, that, and the other. You know, there's guys, you know, I talk about Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, guys who don't have rings. I think, you know, you sign up for championships, period. That's how you validate anything. The Pro Bowls are great. All the individual stuff, even the team stuff, you know, defense finished first in the league, offense first, all that stuff's cool. But, you know, if you don't have that trophy at the end of your career, it's going to be a hard transition because you don't get those days back, those opportunities back. So it's been easy because Luke is such a great player, such a great person. So, hey, you know, become buds. You know, you hang out, you watch film, and every little everything that I can teach him or, you know, help him with, he's so receptive to it. And that's what makes him special. A lot of guys can't take what a coach gives them and then actually go on the field and it translates in their game. He does it. And it's just the most amazing because I can't do it. I'm stuck in my ways, stuff. And I try. Coach, hey, Beast, we want you to try this. Say, yeah. But then you get in those situations where, you know, you're tired or the game's on the line and you revert back to what you normally do. So playing the outside is you know, no biggie for me. Obviously, my hands are going to be tied in terms of the plays that I would be able to make as a mic backer. I'm going to miss that. But, you know, the same, like I said, it'll be the same approach of how I play the game. And then I think, if anything, it's going to make me more motivated because now I got to fight a little harder, got to scrap a little harder to make more plays.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had defensive coordinator Sean McDermott in that very chair. and asked him about that and about you, and he said John Beeson is a consummate team player, and I know you will do whatever it takes to win.
Absolutely.
And what Sean added, that Luke doesn't have the season he has without you kind of helping him along the way.
Right.
And I know that's kind of a behind-the-scenes thing. Obviously, we don't see you on Sundays mm-hmm. because of your injury, but you're there working with him. And I guess, how excited are you for the prospect of not only getting to work with him, but play with him? I mean, you guys, yeah. you look at you, Thomas, Luke, mm-hmm. James. I mean, it's an exciting group of linebackers.
No question. And you know, with Luke, you know, first off, the kid was extremely polished when yeah. he came in. I mean, coach, and, you know, I attribute who he is first to his parents. They raised a great man. The way he works and how he goes about his business, he was very pro-like in terms of, you know, most guys come in and they look like a rookie. But I think the biggest thing, you know, in terms of dealing with the situation was Luke now has that confidence. He has right. that swag. He has mm-hmm. that, you know, he strolls. He feels good about himself, and he knows he can. Right. Having that along with you know, the vets that we do have on this team, Thomas Davis, James Anderson, myself, guys who've played at a high level, I think is scary. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we talked about that the 3-4, obviously, you know, it's three D linemen and four linebackers on the field. You say, hey, that was a perfect world. The only problem with that is you look at that 3-4 scheme, outside linebackers, the best guys are the best in the business. DeMarcus Ware, Lamar Woodley.
If you go back in history,
yeah, Von Miller,
Kevin Green.
Kevin Green. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about guys who are 6'3", you know, closer to, you know, 280, 290, but still can drop in coverage, but they're predominantly in college. A lot of them are pass rushers. Mm-hmm. The four of us, we're off the ball 4-3 linebackers, whether it's the Sam, the Mike, or the Will. You know, we blitz, great in coverage, and it's a different type of build in terms mm-hmm. of playing outside in a 3-4 scheme, or the Mike and the Mo, the two guys right. on the inside in a 3-4. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. But I know based on skill set that is probably not the best fit for us to be all the time. Now, we play under probably 50% of the time, which is
right.
we walk James on the line, the right. Sam backer. Now
you shift the line. We
shift it, exactly.
And the linebacker goes strong. Sam walks down line of scrimmage.
Right. Yeah. So now, essentially, the Mike and the Will become the Mike and the Mo, and you have five guys on the line of scrimmage
right.
at times. James can blitz. He can cover. So that was pretty much our base package. So we've, you know, everyone's talking about 3-4. Well, hey, 50% of the snaps last year were 3-4 alignment.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so but we got options, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you look at it, and just to add a little bit, isn't the bottom line to have your best playmakers on the field?
Absolutely.
And when you look at what's developing here between mm-hmm. the linebacking core you described, Greg Hardy, Charles Johnson.
The whole entire defensive
Charles
front.
Godfrey.
Yeah.
You got young guys like DJ Campbell coming out of the woodworks. Guys who can
Josh
make
Thompson, he's in the weight room right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's guys that you didn't know could play until they get the opportunity. You throw them in the fire and see how they handle it. There's great players who get in the fire and they fold. Mm-hmm. Then there's guys that you don't expect to have to play when guys go down. And, you know, he was not a part of the equation. Wasn't supposed to be on the team. Makes a 53. Hey, we have to activate him because he's the last guy we have. And he goes out and he plays and say, oh, man, this guy's a gamer. You can't teach that. You know, that's the it factor of you know, recruiting and drafting. Guys got to have that it factor.
Right. And I think our new general manager, Dave Gettleman, is the type of guy to go out and find guys with that it factor. I fully believe that. And I left out captain.
Look, Cap.
I got to say Cap because
Cap.
He'll renege on me. He'll renege on
we love you,
let me bar that.
We don't have to mention Cap because he's a staple around here. He's the biggest guy on the defense.
He'll be on my
can't miss him.
He'll be blasting me off on my phone there if I don't. Let's get some more questions because we got a lot to get to.
Yeah, we got through one right there. I think that was good.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's great. We have Armand Smith. You might know him already.
I know him a little bit.
Yeah.
Armand, no, he gonna mess with me.
How will you catch DJ Food Stamps, which I guess is Armand's Twitter name, when running around at practice? LOL, haha.
He is
fast.
Hard-hitting question.
You got players coming in on Twitter.
Right. I love it. You know what? Armand, I think the world of him, man. He, you know, he's a tough running back, small guy, plays big. And he helps us out, man. I'm just glad that he got his chance late in the season to get out there and make some plays for us offensively, returning the ball in the kicking game. But I tell you what, Armand, you know, just like every other back in this league, no, you're not turning the corner. You're not turning the corner. I don't get tired and, you know, You know, yeah. Go get a Gatorade or a hot dog. Go chill a little bit. You know, let Stu pop in there. D'Angelo pop. I'm out there every snap for 3 years. Every snap. Okay.
All right, so we're gonna have to get him in here for a rebuttal.
Right now, I can't beat you in a race, but you're not turning that corner though.
Keep right, going, Dave. Here first. All right, it's kind of a two-part question here. One's from Rob Cunningham, who asked many questions and were all really good.
All right.
What do you think about the Panthers having, according to the NFL, the most difficult strength of schedule next year?
Oh, that happens every year, right? Doesn't it seem like, you know, it's always us? I mean, whether we go, you know, 2-14 or 12-4, it doesn't matter. The next year, they hit us with the, you know, the cream of the crop. You know what? What I've learned in this league is, you know, schedule doesn't really matter, so to speak. You look at the schedule and you say, okay, we're playing this team, they won the playoffs, they won the Super Bowl. And then you go out and those teams that are supposed to be great, you end up playing well against them. And it's the teams that clip you, the teams you're supposed to go out and handle. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they decide to show up and they sneak you. They get a field goal late. Something happens, the ball bounces the wrong way, tip pass, and then all of a sudden they win the game. And you have, you know, a couple of those a season, and then you miss the playoffs by, you know, a game or two. So that's the best thing about this league. That's why it's the best sport in the country, is because there's a lot of parity between the teams. In any given year, you know, you've seen it, you know, wild card teams have won the Super Bowl four seasons. You know, two wild cards, previous Super Bowls.
Well, Christy Yang follows that up on Facebook asking, what are some of the games you're really looking forward to this year that you're excited about?
The first one.
Yeah. And there you go.
The first preseason game. Yeah. I haven't played in the preseason in 2 years. You know, every you know, we talked about being in that moment again. You know, every play is valuable. You know, you go out, if you're a great defense, you know, you want to play between 55, 60 snaps. If you're you know, a bad defense, you're playing about 75, 80 snaps because teams are converting third down. Mm-hmm. And my mentality is I try to play every down as hard as I can because I don't know which play is going to be the play to determine a game. So whether you lose, win, draw, whatever it is, you go back, you watch the tape, and you say, hey, if these two, three plays didn't happen, we would have won the game. You know, we take that away. We gave up this third down conversion. That led to a touchdown. That was a difference in the game. That's how it is, and that's how you got to play the game. So – you know, I'm looking forward to the very first snap, and every opportunity after that is just, you know, being a moment. It's a blessing.
Yeah. Let me hit you up real quick because Greg and I were working on this new feature called Self Scout, and one of the things we worked on was based on what Sean McDermott said about being disciplined but being aggressive. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that as far as you're concerned. How does that fall into your play? Because you love to come downhill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But sometimes – you fill in the blank.
Well, that's the difference. Well, we'll talk about, you know, Luke for a second, right? So, you know, he knows what to do. You sit him down and go X and O, boom, boom, boom. What's the checks? What's this, that? He knows that part. But then what makes you special is those plays, those extra effort plays or those instinctive plays where you saw something and you didn't hesitate. You just shot the gap and you make a play and tackle in the backfield. That happened for him countless times because – he just saw it, and he's instinctive, and he just goes. Mm-hmm. And that's how you got to play the game. So coach wants – obviously, you want guys to be disciplined, but at the same time, you know, go out and make a play. Don't be afraid to make a play. Don't be cautious, because if you're cautious, you won't make the play. They'll convert, or you miss a tackle, or, you know, it's a big play. I mean, you know, I'm not going to call anybody out in the Super Bowl, but there's players on that San Francisco defense that I felt played timid. They played tight. Mm. Plays that they should have played – should have made routine plays where they did not come up with a chance to make a huge interception or bat a ball down. And, you know, those plays went for touchdowns. Yeah.
I think this defense played freer down the stretch, even though it was very disciplined, because I go back to that San Diego game. And, I mean, that was just an example of gap control.
No question.
Were you amazed at how – I mean, because you and I've talked in the past about everybody doing their job and you not having to try to compensate. It looked like everybody did their job across the board coming down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, the mentality is, you know, the strength of the wolf is a pack, and the strength of the pack is a wolf. And you can all be a wolf in your mind.
Where's my pen?
You can all be a wolf in your mind, but at the end of the day, man, the strength comes from the man next to you. You know, you got to draw strength from that guy, and that's part of forming relationships, and just that's the discipline part. Hey, look. You know, if I got to be in that B gap, hey, Luke, I'm going to be there. Hey, Thomas, I'm going to be there. Hey, James, I'm in my gap. I'm holding down my gap. Hardy, you hold contain. Chuck, you hold contain. Ball cuts back in the A gap. Luke makes the play. It's his turn. Simple.
Yeah.
Running back goes, hey, oh, The only place to go is the A-gap. You run through there, he's waiting on you because he's waiting. He knows that that's his fit. And, you know, when you play like that, man, it's scary. It's scary. And then you had a little swagger, you dance on him a little bit. You know? It's a party. I say it all the time, man. It's a party out there, man. That's why, you know, I jump around, I laugh, I have fun. You know, I can bring up something completely crazy in the middle of a game in between plays, and guys are like, hey, Beast, you know. I've had coordinators in the past. We ain't even going to talk about it. But then my boys, and they say, hey, Beast, man, can you know, cut the talking down a little bit? Chill. Hey, I got this, man. Just get me the call and the helmet, man. We're having a good time out here. So that's how I like to play.
That's what it's all about. We're having a good time. But let's get one more question in. I want to notify our affiliates that we're running over. But
oh, always no with me. Always with me.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man. Well, we have two left. How about we talked about this a little bit. This is from Jake Chappell on Facebook. What defensive players impressed you the most this season?
Well, you know, first and foremost, our rookie, Luke Kuechly. And you sit down and you have the conversation with him. Oh, you know, oh, defensive rookie of the year. Hey, Luke, don't worry, buddy. You're shoe-in, sewed up. Yeah. You know, and we had a couple.
Well, I was his campaign manager.
Right, okay. Look,
did a hell of
big
a job.
Shout, Mike Crabb. Made it happen.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, that was to me, that was most impressive to see him just, you know, step right in there and play very veteran, I think was huge. So that was an easy question. I'm not even going to go to number two. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Gotcha. Well, we got one more. I mean, if we have time
go
for
ahead.
It.
Let's do it.
All right. This is another Rob Cunningham question. What are the strengths of this year's draft, and what position should the Panthers target, or one of the positions we should target to make a big impact on improving the team?
That's a great question. If I was the GM, I think the normal formula is you have needs. So let's say we could use a receiver. Smitty, they say you're old. We know you're not old, buddy.
don't get Smitty.
Big Ron Edwards. They say you're old, but we know you're not old, Ron. You know, you get guys banged up in the secondary. You know, you could use a big physical corner maybe. And that's just, you know, that's just my opinion. But you know, you get in that first round. I think what are we 14?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're there, and you know there's a player who, you know, was supposed to be a top 10 pick and has slid for whatever reason to 14, and let's say he plays left tackle. Jordan Groves best in the business, but Jordan's going in 10, 11.
I'm kind of 10, right?
I'm that's, bad with numbers.
Let's say 10.
A lot okay? of years.
So you say, well, we have these needs for these other positions, but you can't pass on the best available talent. I think that's a smart way to go about it. I think a lot of times fans get upset. Why do we take this guy? Why do we take Luke? Well, I got hurt.
You wouldn't turn down a one gapper who blocks out the sun. I know that much.
Selfishly, being a linebacker, not at all. Being not a at linebacker, all. Not at all.
Because we saw what that Baltimore defense did for your fellow Hurricane.
Absolutely, yeah. And they keep that guy there. It yeah. doesn't matter, Tony Siragusa. It doesn't matter. They just keep him. They just reloaded. You know, and everybody has their different philosophy of how they build teams. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, Mr. Gettleman goes about that. And you know, I'll be a big fan. I'll be sitting watching the draft. I don't know. Yeah. I just work here.
Right. Well, man, I tell you, John Beeson, glad to have you. Brought life to this show, man. Glad to have you.
It's always
and,
fun. Mike,
appreciate you spending your lunch break with us. We'll get you a Subway gift card.
That'll work. Eat fresh.
To
fresh.
Take care of lunch. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not in that commercial. Got all the boys. I can't get
yeah.
in the commercial.
Yeah. Hey, we got to work on that. Hey, I can be your campaign.
That's
man.
What I was
Michael
about to say.
Yeah. He gets it done.
Yep. But as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. I know that wasn't a problem today. This is Mike Kraft on behalf of with Brian still working, not just on this set, Max, Dan. All the folks helped us out. Berkeley Dickens, Greg Brandon popped in the studio here for a while. I know he wants to hang out with you. But we will see you right here next week on Panthers.com.
Thanks, man.